This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We're studying in Colossians, and we have reached the 7th verse now of the last chapter. And we're going to be studying a little bit about some of the people who associated with the Apostle Paul. Now, most of us are more interested in people than we are in ideas. And the Word of God, I think, comes down to our level, helping us in this, because he gives us a great deal about the truths that we need to learn, and then he shows us the practical application of these in the lives of people. He shows us by telling us a little bit about several different people at the close of each epistle, just how the truths that he's been talking about affect the life of those who accept Christ and of those who are willing to be led by the Spirit of God. And of course, in writing about these, the Apostle Paul writes his own autobiography too. We learn a little bit about what kind of a man he was. Now, verse 7 we read, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord." Now, this is what the grace of God can do. It can take a man who is a man of the world, selfish and self-centered, and can make him to be a beloved brother, that is, a loving person, a faithful minister, one who serves the Lord faithfully, and a fellow servant of the Apostle Paul, all of this said to be in the Lord. They were doing it as unto the Lord and not unto man. Now, Tychicus was a man who lived in Roman proconsular Asia. He went with Paul on his third missionary journey and then on to Jerusalem with him. And finally, Paul sent him to Ephesus. He is named with Onesimus in some of the Phrygian inscriptions. And you'll find him mentioned in the 20th of Acts, and again in the 6th of Ephesians, and the 3rd of Titus, and in Paul's last letter to Timothy. He's mentioned again. In each case, he mentions him in a good sense, saying something good about this man who proved that he was a child of God. Now, Paul says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate." The Revised Version says that you might know our estate. Both would be true, of course. He was a messenger of Paul to these Colossians, and that he might comfort your hearts. So this was a man who not only knew the Lord himself, but he could be used of the Lord to be a comfort and a help to other Christians. Now with him went Onesimus. In verse 9 it says, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you." Now Onesimus had quite a record. If you read the epistles of Philemon, you'll find out that he was a runaway slave who had stolen money, and then got put in jail in prison in Rome, and there the Apostle Paul led him to Christ. And Paul calls him his son, begotten in his bonds. That is, a son in the Lord, a child in the faith, who was saved while Paul was there in prison himself for preaching the gospel. And while Onesimus was anything but a profitable man before, he is now to be a profitable servant. That's the meaning of the name Onesimus. And he is called a faithful and beloved brother. Now, I don't know how long he's been a Christian, not very long, but long enough to prove that he was genuine. And he says, "Who is one of you?" One of you is in contrast to what he said a little bit earlier in this chapter, them that are without, in verse 5. There are some people who are on the outside, and there are some people who are one of you, who belong to the Christian community. Now, I'm not interested in what church you belong to, but I am interested in whether or not you belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you are one of us. And I welcome you as a brother or sister in Christ. Now they, that is, Tychicus and Onesimus together, shall make known unto you all things that are done here. Aristarchus is mentioned next, my fellow prisoner. Now Aristarchus was a Hebrew Christian who lived at Thessalonica, and he, with an old man named Gaius, had been seized by the mob in Ephesus some 2 years later, 2 years before this, and he later sailed with Paul, and now he's in prison with Paul. Aristarchus, we don't know too much about, but we know this much anyway, that he is a fellow prisoner. He is willing to take his place along with those who belong to Christ, even though it means suffering for the namesake of the Lord Jesus. Now, there are too many fair-weather Christians, if you know what I mean, people who are willing to stand for the Lord as long as it's a popular thing to do, but you just wonder how many of them would stand up in case some of the things should happen in our country that have happened in other countries, and Christians have had to stand for the Lord and even pay for their testimony with their own life's blood. I hope that you're going to be not only a believer in the Lord Jesus, but that you will be a fellow prisoner if need be. In this same salutation is one from Marcus. This is the same as the word Mark. He was the man who was used of the Lord to write the second gospel. And he was a sister's son to Barnabas. Now he says, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. You see, Marcus was a man who had come along mostly because of his uncle or cousin, as the case may be, Barnabas, and went along with the Paul on the first missionary journey. But when they landed on the north shore of the Mediterranean, he saw that this was going to entail hardship, or he became homesick, or something happened. Anyway, he decided to go back home to Jerusalem. And when he went back home, the Apostle Paul was not willing to take him with him on his next journey, because he said that he went not with us to the work. And so Barnabas wanted him to go with him, and they left. And far as we know, Mark never amounted to very much after that, until he was forgiven and restored. And so he says here, if he come unto you, receive him. The word receive here is a very strong word, and it means give him a hearty welcome. Take him back among you. And this teaches us that even though a Christian may sin, he may fall, he may get away from the Lord, he's not lost. He still belongs to Christ, and he can be forgiven and restored, and he can be useful again too. Maybe some Christian is listening to me just now who thinks, well, I've spoiled all my testimony for the Lord, and I'll never amount to anything, I'm done for. Don't you believe it. Satan would like to make you believe it, but don't you believe it. God can use you. God used Peter after he denied the Lord with oaths and curses, and made him a great blessing to many others. And the Lord used Marcus after Marcus had gotten so far away that it looked like he would never be any use at all. Now he says, receive him. He's a useful man. He tells him in another place that he is profitable to me also. And so he is restored to the Lord. And then we have a person mentioned in verse 11. We don't know anything more about him except that he bore the same name as that of our Savior, and Jesus, which is called Justice. The word Jesus is the same as the word Joshua in the Old Testament, and was a very common name, but the name really means Savior. And after our Savior bore the name, very few would want to bear that name. Our Spanish friends sometimes name their children Jesus or Jesus, but they usually go by the nickname of Chuy, because they don't like to take the name of the Lord Jesus. Only one can ever bear this name now and bear it honorably, because he alone is the Savior. While there may be many men by the name of Jesus, there's only one Jesus so far as we're concerned, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All we know about this man called Justice is that he was of the circumcision, that is, he belonged to the Jewish race. And he says, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. These were the only ones among the Jewish race that were still helping with the Apostle Paul, which means that some who had professed Christ must have gone back, in spite of the warnings of the Epistle to the Hebrews, must have gone back into Judaism. because these only were left to be the fellow workers of the Apostle Paul at this late date in his life. They were fellow workers under the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God embraces all there is that acknowledges God. This includes some who are truly born again. It includes others who have only a profession. And I'd just like to issue this word of warning to any who are listening. Make sure that you are truly a born-again person. Make sure that you really belong to God, that you are saved by His grace. Now, Paul says, these have been a comfort unto me. They have been a comfort unto me. They've been a help to me in my daily Christian life. Friends, there's very little that we could do that's of more importance than being a comfort and a help to fellow Christians. We live in an unfriendly world. We're like divers down underneath the ocean. Everything about us is oppressive. Everything about us is against us, would hinder us, would spoil our testimony, would crowd in upon us. And we need to be in touch with the Lord above, and we need the help of our fellow Christians. And there's so much division among the Church of God today, so many schisms, so many denominations. The Lord never intended this to be. Let's try to be a help to each other. If you really know the Lord and I know the Lord, we're brothers in Christ. And we ought to be living in such a way as to please the Lord and to help each other. So he says, these have been a comfort unto me. Have you comforted any Christian today? There may be some Christian close at hand. There may be some Christian you could telephone just now and give a little word of cheer and comfort to. There may be some Christian in the hospital that you could spend time visiting. There are many opportunities all about us to be a help and a comfort to our fellow Christians, and of course an opportunity to speak a word to those who have not yet received Christ. I hope you'll do it. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. We pray that those who are not saved will come to know our Savior very soon, and those of us who know him will live so as to show that we are redeemed by his precious blood. Take our thanks now in his precious name. Amen.